This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You are swimming distance from a shore you cannot see.
If you choose the wrong direction, you will drown. If you do not make a decision, you will drown.
Good morning, Night Vale.
Hello, world. My name is Meg Bashbrenner, and I am one of your hosts on this blessed podcast.
Good morning, everybody. This is Brother Hal wishing you the finest of days, yours in Flying Spaghetti Monster.
And hey, bitch, it's me, Symphony. What up?
This is the show, Good Morning, Night Vale. It's the show where we recap episodes of the hit popular podcast, Welcome to Night Vale, because it's fun and because we like to hear the sounds of our own voices. Today, we're recording this. It's Wednesday, January the 5th at 9:19 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's my Uncle Emil's birthday. Happy birthday, Uncle Emil.
Happy birthday, Emil.
HBD Emil. And this episode is episode 101, and the description is as follows. Mandatory annual spring cleaning is coming. Here are the guidelines for the new municipal landfill facility. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. So yeah, this episode was co-written with Bree Williams. Oh. And this is Bree's first episode of writing with the Night Vale crew.
Wonderful.
And this episode came out at the beginning of 2017.
Love Bree.
So yeah, Bree has written many episodes over the years, but this is the first one. And there's also has been a recent follow-up to this episode in current times, current Night Vale times. Bree wrote a follow-up.
But I don't know nothing about that.
So we won't even talk about it.
Never.
We can talk about it when we get there.
In 6 years.
In 3 years.
Will it be 3 years? We should do the calculation. Someone do the math.
Well, we're in 2017 right now, but it's 2022. We're in... What is this, the fall of 2017? I think because
we'll never catch up.
Basically in the same schedule. I think we caught up a little bit because we were doing one a week. And then we shifted to biweekly, the same as Night Vale. So I think either we catch up one, then the distance remains, or we get a little further away and then we catch up.
They take more breaks than us. So
Oh, do they?
We have two more episodes a year than them.
Okay. So then by 2094, we will catch up.
Yeah.
We'll never quite catch up, but we will eventually get to this Bree's follow-up to this episode.
Nice.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to whenever that happens. This episode was very heavy in like memories and, I mean, obviously all the things that are intangible and not physical that you're able to take to the dump or whatever. But I thought a lot of them were very dark, no? Or wistful.
Yeah. Like complex.
Yeah.
There was not really a lot of light memories. It was stuff that was like kind of had like a sort of like painful or just sort of growing up, the ickiness that is growing up memories.
Yeah.
The like embarrassment, painfulness and stuff like that. It was not like the memory of the first time you learned how to blow a bubble,
right?
You know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is stuff that were you in therapy and were you carrying around not even just the memory, but the burden of these things? Mm. You know, you can't erase a memory, but you can change your relationship with it and how it continues to affect you. So there is sort of this idea of I'm going to go to the landfill and what is the thing in my mind? Like there are things from high school that still bother me that I did. And I can never throw away the fact that I did them, but I would love to not feel bad about it anymore to go, hey, 17-year-old Hal, you made a mistake and I forgive you. Like that's a big thing that I've discovered in therapy. It's like the idea of forgiving a younger version of yourself, or like somehow putting stuff to rest and moving beyond it. And that's what this feels like for me.
Yeah.
It's sort of the bad, how do you let go of those things? What if there were a landfill where you could go and just sort of pull them out of your head and toss them in there? What would that be like? And that's why it's such a well-written episode and such a fun thing to explore that I love any kind of piece of art that makes me think about how does this apply to my life? How would I approach this if I were in the shoes of the citizens of Night Vale going to this landfill where you're throwing away concepts or memories or, you know, just the effects of them?
Yeah, I thought it was also really well written. And because those memories, some of them were so visceral, I was like, God, I've had that feeling before, especially the one about like, you like a friend and you're not sure if you want to take it to the next level. And then you guys end up like hooking up or whatever. And then like those feelings and you're like, wow, everybody's kind of had something similar, maybe not that exact situation, but those feelings of being like unsure of yourself. I think a lot of those things were pretty universal. And, you know, just the awkward things that you do or say or want to do or want to say that never happen. And like, it's very strange. I'm sure everyone has these, but like those memories that just pop into your head and you're like, oh, like make you like cringe and like pucker a little bit at like,
oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something you said, something you did, someone you did. And you're like, yikes.
And isn't that ultimately so, it can take you to a very unhealthy place where you start applying those things. Instead of going like, oh, that was a weird moment, to go like, how does that, am I still trapped in? Or if I had only done whatever, like every single moment that you feel bad about or that didn't turn out right is somehow your sliding doors moment. I think that's like the worst sort of thought pattern to get into. So like you do want to throw that stuff away. Throw it in the dump. Toss it.
I think they also made an interesting point in that like when they were talking about, well, you could get rid of one whole year, but, you know, that could have been the catalyst for this or something else. I do think about those things. I'm like, okay, yes, I don't regret anything in my life because it's gotten me to who I am, where I am, what I am today. And if I hadn't had those experiences, I would be in a different place, perhaps, right? Mm-hmm. And that I'm sure it would be interesting, but would it be me, you know?
Yeah, of course. I agree with you 100%. That's sort of the mantra that I live under is even when I have those thoughts, it's like, well, ultimately, I have to be appreciative of everything or find a way to at least be neutral about it because number one, I can't go back and change it. And number two, there are a lot of great things about the present moment, about any present moment you're in. There are positive things to find. And every single bad thing that happened was part of that journey. It's all one big journey. You know, what if you took away all the great things that happened to you? That's all part of the whole.
That's, how we make peace with ourselves and our existence.
Yeah.
Back to the thing you were saying about the year. This episode came out at the beginning of 2017. Mm-hmm. And I remember during 2016, there was a lot of talk about like, this is the worst year.
Oh,
this
LOL.
Is the worst year ever. Like all the celebrities died.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
Yep.
And then, I mean, a point that I made during that year was that like, this is probably the best year for decades because it's just like, we're going downhill from here, obviously. And here we sit.
And you were right, Meg. And you were right.
Great job, Meg.
2016 wasn't so bad now, was it, guys? You could leave your house.
If I had to decide between 2016 and 2020, I'd probably go 2020. But I don't know, because 2021 was pretty shite for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, it was.
But I don't know. I kind of had a good time in 2020. I was chilling. I was like, besides the fact that I was sad I couldn't be out on the road with you guys and whatever, I was like, look at me. Yeah. I grew a bunch of plants, a crazy amount of plants.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how to do my own nails. And, you know, things are pretty good, were pretty good. And then 2021 was like, hey, jerk, go back to work.
Yeah. 2020, it was like kind of, I mean, it was a really tragic and awful time for the world. Personally, I really needed a break.
Yes.
And so it was like this horrible forced break, but I actually kind of really, really needed the rest. So that was good. And then 2021 was hard, man. But I had like the, you know, the best thing in my whole life ever happened to me in 2021. Yeah. I had a baby and I love her and she's my whole world. But like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's been a rough year for the world. It's also like I have pretty bad back injury yeah. and really bad postpartum depression. And like, you know, like having a newborn isn't easy. So it's, yeah, there's... Mm-hmm. That is what life is that it's not, there's not a year. There's not a specific right. frame you can put around the experience.
Yeah.
It's all good and bad at
Absolutely.
Once.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. 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 Like 2020 for me, just to throw my head into the ring. Like, I feel like I figured out how to make the best of the situation
yeah.
in a ton of different ways. And then I had mentally budgeted for that year to be what it was once the pandemic started. I was like, all right, well, this is going to be for a while. And then I just wasn't ready for last year and it tore me down. And I'm still like figuring out the green light to sort of build back up. But then on the other hand, great things happened yeah. as well. Like it's, but that's life. At your shittiest, great things happen. And when you're at your best, terrible things yeah. happen. And it's, there's no way you can ever have just one thing all the time. And if you didn't have one, you wouldn't be able to appreciate or learn how to cope with the other.
Of course. Yep. Without great loss, great tragedy, great sorrow, you can't have great joy and great happiness, great peace, right?
Yeah. Big.
Why everything yep. got to be so hard, universe?
We're here to have a big time.
You're trying me. You're trying me.
That's it. Big time.
Yeah. I'm here to have a big time.
You're here to have a big time.
I'm here to have a very big time.
Yep. The biggest.
You know, they say go big or go home. Well, I am at home and I'm still going big, I guess.
Right? One interesting thing about this episode's actually, it's beautifully written. One interesting thing about it, though, is the casting of you that happens where there is the, because the instructions that they're given about what you can do, mm-hmm. what you can bring to the landfill, and the character of you is created. Which I love when Night Vale does that.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. we have the cast of, and we learn about this you person who goes back to their childhood home and sleeps on the couch and then had that like terrifying experience with the
black hole.
Knew the black hole and the mice and the, yeah. So
I was, okay, in that whole experience, I was like, I was trying to figure out, I was like, okay, they were the only ones who saw it like above the water, right? At the beach or whatever. And then it was, again, in that weird hole behind a poster in their wall. And they were scooping out mice and throwing them outside. And then they saw the black hole again. That really chilled me down to the friggin' bone. Because I was like, they said it opened and closed like the aperture of a camera. And I was like, is this just like a weird memory? Are these like just like flashes of some sort of darkness? Like, what is this, a physical thing? Or I don't know, it was spoopy.
It kind of feels like those moments that I hope everybody's had where you almost go out of body and you become like an observer of your physical world for just a second of like, I'm not me, none of this is real, what is going on, how am I sitting here? Like you kind of float out for a second just mentally. So that feeling of like you're being sucked in by a black hole, but you're stuck to the ground at the same time. Like it's just that's the feeling that's where my brain goes immediately. Yeah. Like the times I felt that way of like, there's none of this is real. This is all fake. Nothing I've ever done has happened. Nothing I ever will do will happen.
Like a snapshot of mortality.
No, it's not even a mortality. I mean, it could be, but for me, it's never a mortality. It's just like it just all feels fake for a second. Like it's the Truman Show.
That only happens when I would like smoke a new weed.
I have no excuse then.
And someone's like, try the bubble party weed. And you're like, okay. And then next thing you know, you're like freezing cold on a golf course. Like, what the? Had it.
Time isn't.
This one's called Poughkeepsie Backhand. Try it. You won't feel like you're in your own body anymore.
Oh, I was going to say, can we talk about the boxes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It made me feel very much like a la, like, what's that? Not The Cell. Maybe it was The Cell. But there was like a horror. You guys, I know, aren't like crazy about horror. But there was like kind of a horror thriller movie where maybe it was the cell. You're trapped in this thing and it's like a bunch of rooms and it switches around and you had to like figure out how to get out. This could be a terrible nightmare that I have. I'm not sure, but I'm sure it's a movie.
Oh, was it The Cell with Jennifer Lopez?
No, no. I don't think it's actually that movie.
I don't know.
Wait, was it that movie? No.
Like a horror Matrix? I thought that's what The Cell was.
No, because that one was like, she was going inside like a serial killer's sort of brain. Mm. But it's a movie about like, it's like a cube. Maybe it's called The Cube. I don't know.
Sure.
And it's like a box thing and there's these people in them and they have to like go through doors and stuff, like lift levers and then people get caught and then die in... Anyways, someone on the internet who listens to this episode.
Is it new?
No, it's older.
Is it new? Because I feel like I saw a trailer for a movie like that.
I'm going to figure it out. It made me think of that, and I was very scared because I'm good at puzzles, but like when there's no stakes and like people weren't coming out of those boxes, but some were.
Yeah.
And being really cryptic about how to go through it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be very good at that because sometimes when I get under stress, I get really dumb.
Yeah.
Like when you're like assembling furniture and you like lose the piece that's in your hand.
Yeah.
That kind of thing happens to me a lot.
I mean, all the levers and dials and things made me think of a video game. I thought of Tomb Raider immediately. Mm-hmm. Which is weird. The original Tomb Raider is a very lonely game because you're just sort of running through dark caverns and then every once in a while a dog attacks you, a wolf, and you have to fight the wolf and you don't want to fight the wolf. I just want the dogs to
be nice.
To just leave me alone. I'll leave them alone. I'll feed them. They could become my pets. It's very lonely. And then all of a sudden there are dials. So there's like a puzzle you have to solve.
I think I have
to read that to him.
Yeah. Gotta read it.
Anyway, that was my Game Informer review of Tomb Raider.
No, I think I have seen that one. I've not played a lot of games, but I've seen them played.
Yeah. There are a lot of if you enjoy puzzles, if you're a puzzler, there are a series of games for your mobile phone called The Room, which is like a weird sort of Victorian horror. You put in a room with all these puzzles that you have to solve in order to go deeper and deeper into this, like, the madness enveloped me and blah, 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 blah. There's like a parallel universe in it. And there's room 1, 2, and 3. And then there's one for VR headsets too, which is pretty cool. And they're really, really fun and engaging. And when you solve them, you feel super smart.
Damn.
Even if you have to look up how to do it online.
You're like, walk through.
Not saying I have, but I would. And isn't that a smart way to do it?
Yep.
I think so.
This episode was the first one of the year of 2017. And this is the first one of our year. And it kind of has that feeling of like leaving behind things and getting like just the spring cleaning episode. But it's like has that sort of what you bring. It's into the new year.
Yeah.
But also while saying that years don't really exist. So and that we have like these, they're kind of just lines in the sand that we draw. But as we three people enter 2022, what are we leaving behind us? What would we like to bring to the dump?
Ooh, I think I would like to bring to the dump my procrastination and my imposter syndrome. I know it's deep, you guys.
Yeah. I know that you can't bring physical pain because it's physically there, but I will bring, I guess, the fear of pain for the pain that I have in my back and the fact that my left leg is still numb 6 months later. I'd like to give up the numbness. Can I give that up, the numbness in my leg? That'd be great.
Yes. Yes. Well, I feel like I would just give up anxiety, the fear and anxiety that is so prominent in my life. That would probably help with a lot of stuff.
Oof. That would take a weight off. Can we talk about, they slipped it in like right under the wire, but the thing about the other basement, Cecil's other basement?
Yeah, just casually his other basement.
I know, I was like, you can't be like, oh yeah, there's this basement that's attached to my basement and I go there sometimes and they have the same stuff.
Yeah, it's just a passage.
And I'm like, what the hell? And he said it was full of emotional baggage and I was like, is this a metaphor? Or a real place, Cecil.
Speaking of real place, I've been in this Facebook group for my town, And someone was posted, it's like a lot of people posted, they've moved away, but they post about their memories of like living in the town. And they're like, do you remember this person? Their basement connected to this, the tunnel to this basement.
What?
So apparently like in the village of my town, a lot of houses have connecting tunnels, like underground.
No.
Was that an underground railroad thing? Or was that a, when it's cold, we need to be able to deliver goods or see one another without being out in the oppressive cold?
I'm guessing it was a when it's cold thing. I don't know. Was the Underground Railroad really underground?
No.
No, but I'm sure there were tunnels for part of it. There must have been some tunnels somewhere. Somebody had a tunnel.
I think there were like hiding places. Yeah. I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't like taking the tube to freedom.
A pneumatic tube. No.
A pneumatic tube.
I think that was the question that someone asked. They were like, were these part of the Underground Railroad?
Mm-hmm. Or were they some sort of, it's Hudson Valley, it could have been Revolutionary War smuggling.
Yeah.
Or prohibitionists. Yes,
it could be smuggling. It could be a smuggling, it could be anything.
I mean, yeah, my town is from like 1617, so.
Well, mm-hmm. I'm going to say it's for freaky sex stuff.
That probably was it.
Oh.
We've only had the internet for a handful of years. Before that, people just had to do freaky sex stuff and tunnel underneath each other's houses to do it.
Yeah. Well, I can't have anybody see me going over there, so I better get a shovel.
Yeah.
And then foam party.
You just fill up the tube. The mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was anyone, speaking of back to our times, was anyone listening to all these sanitation guidelines and how they're like, and being like, this is just like the CDC telling us to the new quarantine. It was just like every, like all the different conflicting rules about what can be dropped off and where, yeah. Where it's like this, these sort of things have to go to the old landfill, but the old landfill is closed. And I was like, is this, it's just like the continual government tangle. It was like, oh, we're living Night Vale right now. The CDC is straight out of Night Vale.
Mm-hmm. I feel like all governmental bodies are very, have some sort of tinge towards Night Vale, because like, it's like when you see this in major cities where you're trying to find a parking spot and it'll be like, no parking except no parking on Tuesdays before 6 and then after 7:30, except on Wednesdays when there's street cleaning and only 1 inch of snow, or they'll tow you. And you're like,
from November to right. July.
And you're like, just give me the fucking ticket, bro. Like, I don't know. Okay. No, it's very confusing.
For sure in LA, if you ever see areas that don't have parking meters, you have to find the sign and read it. And when the sign has two sides, like what you're talking about, that list of instructions, it's just like, oh, can I just leave my car in the middle of the street? And if you want to take it, you can take it, because this is like the opening scroll to Star Wars. There's no way I'm going to remember. Just like, it should just be like a thumbs up. How about a digital sign that has a thumbs up or a thumbs down, whether you can park there or not? We've got that technology.
They can't make it that easy for us, because otherwise they'd have to.
It's intentional.
Not take our money.
Yeah, it's all intentional. Yeah. They're setting a trap.
How dare they?
Shout out to LaCroix in this episode. Cecil keeps cases of LaCroix in his basement.
Burning wood smoke.
Although he pronounces it LaCroix.
You know, I for the longest time, I called it LaCroix too. And I got really irritated when people were like, it's LaCroix. I was like, shut your filthy mouth. It's French. It's LaCroix.
Yeah, that's exactly how you pronounce it in French. It'd be LaCroix. Yeah.
If you're going to be, I mean, I also call it Target Boutique. So who knows?
Get out of here.
I do. I always thought it was LaCroix, and then it wasn't literally until like 3 years ago that somebody was like, LaCroix, and I was like, huh?
It's hard to believe how long it's been. It feels like it's newer, but I definitely remember where every comedy venue in LA, like every comedian was drinking LaCroix. So it was constantly backstage. It was just all of a sudden, it was everywhere and everyone was drinking it all the time. And I don't know how the trend started, but it spread so quickly that it was like rabbits multiplying. Like I don't remember. Do you remember a point in time where all of a sudden it was LaCroix?
Yeah,
what happened? Does anybody know?
I remember the first time I had one.
Really?
What was it like?
It was Pamplemousse. It was at the theater in Charleston, the venue in Charleston. They had it in the green room. And I was like, this is delicious.
That was the first time you had it?
Mm-hmm. And then from that point on, we put it on the rider.
Okay. Like, I remember LaCroix, whatever, from like a long time ago. My mother was
LaCroix.
Leak Roy Jones. I remember my mother has always been was always a seltzer water person. She loved, you know, different types. She loved flavored waters. And like, we would try all these different kinds. And I remember having it, but being like, okay, this doesn't taste like much. Cause my mom always liked like clearly Canadian, which is basically like clear soda, I think. Cause it's just like too fruited and not like in the way that a Spindrift is. And now I'm a friggin' seltzer water aficionado. Like, I know all the fancy sodas. But yeah, it became, like, more popular, like, within the past, like, I would say 5 or 6 years. Like, more people were having it, like, just out and about. Because it was going the way of Tab before that,
I think. Was a Midwest thing. Like, you couldn't even get it anywhere but the Midwest.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. I guess that's why I was like, I've grown up with it, so I don't know what people are talking about. But, like, oh, that's funny. And then it busted out.
Yeah. Huh. And then now there's Bubbly.
Michael Bublé. Yeah.
Michael Bublé.
LaCroix.
And the Waterloo.
Waterloo's the shit.
When we first started drinking.
I really enjoy Waterloo. Plus, I like that ABBA song. Waterloo. Yep, you know the one. But I also enjoy motherfucking Topo Chico. If you want real spicy water.
Bubbles.
You want a little frizzle frazzle? Get some Topo, baby. Baby.
Baby.
Baby.
Let's move on.
The corrections. First of all, it made me think of our Strong and Wrong segment, which, by the way, I have an entry, Strong and Wrong. I think last episode I was talking about how we only, or was it the Patreon thing? I don't remember. I said something about, oh, well, we probably only use 10% of our brains anyway. That's what they say. And you were like, no, I think we use our whole brain. It's true. We do use our whole brain. That was just a myth that we've been,
yeah.
I've been told, I've been fed a bag full of lies my entire life, and I'm just now waking up from that. So forgive me.
Now you're using all your brain.
I'm using each and every one of these brain cellies.
Hey, braining with power. For real.
Yeah, but, you know, I spend most of my time like smooth brain, no thoughts. You know what I mean?
Smooth brain, yes.
Smooth brain, no thoughts.
You would slip and slide off my brain if you tried to stand on it. That's how smooth it is. Zero friction on my brain.
Yeah. But yeah, the corrections that found items are a clattering?
Mm-hmm. Clattering. Clattering of boxes.
Yeah. I thought that was funny. I always think those are fun, like a murder of crows.
Yeah, nouns of collective nouns. Yes. Nouns of gathering.
We like to come up with ones. Joseph and I like to come up with ones for dogs.
Oh, yeah? What do you call them?
Like a like French bulldogs.
Okay.
A group of them is a crepe. A group of pugs, I believe, is a snore.
Okay, yeah.
A group of golden retrievers is a butter pat. No, a butter dish.
Butter dish.
What's a group of corgis?
A group of corgis is...
a pill bottle.
Yeah.
You'll have to come up with one.
So they're fun. It's fun.
That's all I can think about now.
Oh, poor old woman Josie. Oh, dubs. She back.
I like how Cecil just like straight up gives her medical information out to everyone on the radio. There's an infection and the infection's not gone yet.
You don't care about HIPAA.
I think that's HIPAA. Yeah.
But I'm just like, Cece, like you just feel like she's not doing well. You don't have to get into specifics of the
diagnosis.
The infection multiplying within her hip.
That's crazy.
Well, everybody cares.
Yeah.
But we thought we were out of the woods with her and we are not. So
you're never out of the woods.
The thing about, I couldn't get this out of my head when he was talking about the character of you kind of doing the that summer part where you had the cool sunglasses and all that.
Mm-hmm. Sombrella.
And he said something about it's like stuck like a bad churro. And I was like, oh, there's nothing worse than a bad churro. I still pine for that one churro in Indianapolis. Where was it? Indiana somewhere. Where
Indiana.
I swear to God, it smelled like churros backstage. And I was like, hey, where can I get a churro to somebody that worked there? And they sent me all over the place. And every time they sent me to one person, I'd be like, hey, I was told there were churros. And they're like, go down to this one. And I went and they didn't have it. And when I got to the final person, I was like, hey, I was told you guys have churros. And he's like, what? And he acted like I was insane. And I was like, I swear I smell churros. He's like, well, I made guacamole. Could it be that? And I'm like, guacamole doesn't smell like churros. Don't try and fool me. I know the difference.
They always choose one person who comes in for a show and they spray churro scent near them. And they go, oh, yeah, we'll send you on a snipe hunt.
And that's why we'll never play Indianapolis again.
Catch some wild snipe.
Never.
They got a lifespan for fucking around and finding out.
Put churros on the rider next time you're there. Fresh churros. Up next, we hear from fans and friends of the podcast. But first, a conversation about this episode's weather, which was Letters by Lara Lynn.
I know we say this every time this happens, but generally the music doesn't, the weather doesn't go with the, you know, it's not meant to go with it.
Right.
This one went so well with this episode. First of all, it's like a story song. Mm-hmm. There's like a story, like, and I understood everything she was saying. You know how some people got the mumbles, but not Lara. She's no Ariana Grande. She was singing very clearly. So I understood. And it was like, just, it evoked like that memory of someone is like, when you have like those strong memories, like when she talks about like the cigarette smell on his fingertips, like, and things like that, those things are what you remember about a person. You're like, oh yeah, when you used to walk in and this would happen or whatever. It's just like so strong. But then did you think that this person died? Did they say they died in the song, or was I making that up?
I wasn't that in. I like just kind of, it's like bopping along to it while doing other stuff. Yeah. So I was.
Yes. Me too.
Okay. I was, because I was like sitting listening to it and I was like,
okay, I have to go look at the lyrics.
Well, there's the one line that I liked that was like, all I can do is write these letters that will never get to you.
I mean, that could be a problem with the Postal Service. They've had delays.
Or they don't know where they live. Is that guy still in charge of the Postal Service? Who is messing everything up?
Yes.
Al Jolson?
Louis DeJoy. As of this recording, yes.
Yuck. But I got the feeling that the person was... At first, I thought they had just broken up. And then I thought he died. Tell us what you find in your research, Meg. Anything that...
Oh, I was just looking at something. I was just looking at pictures of my daughter. Sorry. I got distracted. It happens a lot.
That's okay. She is very cute, that Wolfie. So I really can't blame you for looking at her. I would do the same.
It happens a lot.
And it was what I did when I was at your house, staring deeply into her ice blue eyes. They're like bluish green.
Wolfie.
Yeah, blue, green, gray.
They're a different color now. We're still not sure what color they are.
Because they don't settle down until like two, right? The eyes.
Who knows? Who knows if they ever will? She's a witch.
That's my girl.
So Lara Lynn, Nashville singer, songwriter from the post-Americana realm. She's sort of a big get. She's on tour. She's on tour right now.
Okay.
And she will be on tour this spring. Joseph likes her music and he messaged and got permission. So. That's how Lara Lynn ended up on Night Vale.
Well,
the tastes of Joseph Fink.
It's so interesting to me every time that happens, though, because sometimes people are just like, yeah. I mean, Joseph's music tastes are, I would say, quite left of, like, scent. Like, they're very, like, indie. A lot of his people that he enjoys musically, which I'm totally into, but like I never got that deep into music. I'm very much top 40s, bubblegum pop, like hip hop, the raps and the you know, the songs that are on the radio, you know, and on the MTVs. Not anymore. They don't play music. But you know what I mean. And I always find it so interesting that, you know, Joseph just reached out to music. But musicians are just like us. They want their art out there, right? And sometimes all it takes is you being like, hey, you want to put your song on my show? And they'll be like, yeah, sure, why not? Right?
Why not? Yeah.
And I'm sure that is the exact word-for-word email that he sends them. Hey.
That was it.
Sup? Want to be on my podcast? And they're like, yeah. Coy. It's flirting through email. but for music.
Do you know what time it is right now?
No, tell me what time it is.
It's time to take the cold, wet dough of this fan zone, put it in hot oil, and then roll it in cinnamon sugar for our first ever fan zone churro.
Oh, fan zone churro.
Churro. Oh, oh, oh.
Stay right there. Good Morning Night Vale will return after a brief break.
Dipping this one in the caramel sauce right now.
Uh-oh.
Cody writes, hello, Meg Symphony, Hal, and or potential guest host. That's nice to accommodate for that. My name is Cody, and while I don't have a theory for you all, I wanted to let you know how much Night Vale means to me. In order to do so, I need to give you some context. I grew up in Garland, Texas, a town coincidentally near Jeffrey Craner's hometown of Mesquite. But in 2014, I left home to study musical theater at a school near St. Louis, Missouri. Near the end of my first semester there, my father passed away from a sudden severe heart attack. I was incredibly close to my dad, so it absolutely shook me to my core and forced me to deal with many things I had never dealt with, namely severe anxiety and depression. While trying to reorient my life and brain after this devastating event, I desperately sought comfort in the arms of strangers via a certain app. During one of my daily grinds, that's a hint, I started talking to someone who introduced me to Welcome to Night Vale. Up to that point, I had never listened to a podcast, nor did I even know what they were. While the relationship with that guy was DOA, my interest in Welcome to Night Vale was piqued. I started from episode one and fell head over heels for this beautifully crafted piece of art. Not only did it have a wonderfully non-caricatured gay man as the main character, something I was rarely exposed to at that point, but it had the wholesome, satirical, dark humor with a semi-Lovecraftian twist that I never knew I needed. I even began using monologues from Welcome to Night Vale for auditions and classes, much to the chagrin of my professors. It never failed to put a smile on my face and a skip in my step at a time when I had forgotten what joy was. After falling for Night Vale, I became a podcast fiend, discovering more and more podcasts as the years went on, including the Thrilling Adventure Hour, shout out to Hal. It has gotten to the point that I listen to podcasts more than actual music or show tunes, and I love me some show tunes. Out of all of them, however, Welcome to Night Vale and now Good Morning Night Vale are the shows I look forward to the most. Getting to venture back into the weird world of Night Vale one episode at a time with you three has been nothing short of spectacular, and, coupled with a ton of therapy, has helped bring me out of some of the darkest moments of my young adult life. So thank you all so much for everything you all have brought to my world, as well as many others. I legitimately would not still be here without each and every one of you. P.S. Hydro colon therapy. It has been 0 days. No! Cody, thank you for that. I'm sure, like me, the logistics of the whole thing eludes you, and the image you have in your mind can't possibly be accurate, and it seems like nothing but discomfort and poo-poo everywhere. But more importantly than that, we're all glad that you're here and glad that you continue to be here because you are important and you matter, and anyone else who is listening to this, you are important and you matter, and we are glad that you're here too. So thank you for taking this journey with us, and a hydro colon therapy to you as well.
Cody, you had me until then.
I mean, really?
Do you know
like the fountains you get at a wedding?
No.
Never mind. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to do it. Let me stop.
Next up in the churro, we have Audrey. Audrey writes, hello, Meg, Symphony, and Hal. I'm writing this email while listening to Good Morning, a new sheriff in town on January 3rd, 2022. Also known as the fourth day that I have had COVID. Oh, no! That was from me, not from Audrey. Continuing.
Yeah.
I even followed all the precautions and was going to get my booster as soon as 15-year-olds could get it. But here we are. We're only 15?
Mm.
Oh, you poor babe. And I couldn't help but nervously laugh when Meg said, hopefully, we'll be back out on the road in 22, considering the numbers are going up again. This podcast has brought me some comfort while I've been quarantined to my room since my mom, who works in a school, wants to go back to work because our district is extremely understaffed. I discovered Night Vale through a friend who was a huge fan and would tell me about how excited she was when big things happened, such as Cecil and Carlos getting married. I was very confused when she showed up at our ultimate frisbee practice grinning and told me they got married. I finally listened in August of 2021 and binge listened until I was fully caught up. I've convinced two of my other friends to listen, and while they're very confused right now, I think they're enjoying it. I also have a headcanon for exactly what Night Vale is. I think Night Vale is some kind of afterlife or in between the afterlife, and that's why nothing quite makes sense in that world. I think that also makes Cecil, and formerly Leonard Burton, some kind of god, since they can see everything that happens in Night Vale. I look forward to hearing your thoughts on this. Audrey, she, her. Well, Audrey, I'm so sorry you got COVID. I hope you are doing much better now. I know it's only the 5th of January. I really had to think hard on what day it was. But I hope you are feeling better. And I hope you do. You are able to get boosted once you recover and are feeling better and you are allowed to. You're such a young babe. Stay healthy as much as you can and stay safe. As far as your headcanon goes, I'm not going to say Cecil's a god. That's where I'm going to leave that one. I'm not going to say Cecil's a god. Mm-hmm. He's too silly. but, I mean, I guess if for those of you out there who do believe in God, our God is probably pretty silly too, huh? So what the heck? But I don't know. It would be interesting if they were in some sort of limbo, that Night Vale was some sort of limbo, and that's why time is all weird there and everything's strange and confusing. But I very much would think that Cecil was a part of it because he's just as confused as everybody else is, and he doesn't seem to really have control over much. Keep listening. You're a babe, Audrey.
Aaron writes, "Hello, Meg, Symphony, and Hal. At the end of Good Morning Toast, Meg said in the credits to tell you what we eat to celebrate the holidays, so I thought I'd share. My dad's family is very big and very Italian-American, and we always eat lasagna as our Christmas dinner. As a kid, I never realized that this was unusual. I just thought that every family ate lasagna at Christmas and was confused to learn that people ate other things to celebrate Christmas. This year, I'm not spending Christmas with my whole family because of COVID, so I was making lasagna while listening to Good Morning Night Vale. Thanks for all you do, and Happy New Year. Hopefully 22 is a good one for all of you. P.S. Hal, the well, hello there, buddy. I can't do it. Hal's going to have to do it. The hello there, buddy TikTok account about is one of my favorites. Aaron.
Old time hockey.
Thanks, Aaron. I'm also an Italian American, and I also eat lasagna on Christmas Day. This year, we had baked ziti. It was just Joseph and Iris and I. Because of COVID, we didn't go see my parents, and I didn't want to do a lasagna. But yeah, we always eat some sort of cheesy pasta on Christmas. Yeah. So you're my paisan.
And that that account is Old Time Hockey, H-A-W-K-E-Y.
Great.
Well, hello there, buddy.
Hello there, buddy. Thank you all so very much for listening, for joining us, for listening to Welcome to Night Vale and Good Morning Night Vale. The next episode is Love is a Shambling Thing. And until then, good morning, Night Vale. Good morning.
Good Morning Night Vale is a Night Vale Presents production. It is hosted by Symphony Sanders, Meg Bashwinner, and Hal Lublin. It is edited by Felicia Dominguez and mixed by Vincent Cashion. It is produced by Meg Bashwinner. Theme music by Disparition. Special thanks to our fans who submitted their thoughts this week. Leave us a voicemail at 929-277-2050 or email us at info@goodmorningnightvale.com to share your theories and ask questions, or to tell us what not-physical item you would like to bring to the new landfill. This show is powered by our patrons, like Allison Graham, Kate Bishop, Hope Mazika, Chewy Pancakes, and Bray Palmer.
Chewy Pancakes is so good.
If you're interested in supporting this show in exchange for lots of fun, exclusive, insider, hyper-cool kid content like our special Episode 100 Fan Zone, check us out at patreon.com/goodmorningnightvale. For more info on this show, go to goodmorningnightvale.com and follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Night Vale Chat. Special thanks to Joella Knapp, Jeffrey Craner, and Joseph Fink. The churro ingredient of the week is reconnecting with the person on the other side of the nasal swab. We'll be right back.
The creators of Welcome to Night Vale, Alice Isn't Dead, and Within the Wires comes a new Audible original. Unlicensed. In the outskirts of Los Angeles, where the cul-de-sacs and strip malls sprawl into the desert, two unlicensed private investigators scrape by on whatever small cases come their way. But when a teenage girl pleads for them to take the strangest case of their career, this unlikely pair, with no resources and no backup, will follow a trail of seemingly unconnected cases, which will lead them to a ransom, a murder, a mysterious wellness center, and a conspiracy that might go all the way to the governor.
It's important to catch small fires early. They don't stay small for long.
Unlicensed. Available now at audible.com/unlicensed.